Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. I'm going to be talking about immigration today, and I want to read something from a bulletin up on the Future Mankind site that Billy has written. I just want to read a section from it. It says, in 1978, 4 billion people inhabited the Earth. In 2000, there will already exist 7 billion inhabitants. Because of this steady and incessant increase of overpopulation, each and every other problem becomes excessively, immeasurably, and increasingly compounded. These problems will affect every facet of human life, indeed the very life of the planet itself and its fauna and flora. In the coming decades, a man's degeneration on Earth relentlessly increases, so will that of the planet and nature. Alone, the looming ozone layer depletion caused by man's own actions will initiate unforeseen suffering upon the entire planet, including all life forms. In much the same manner as a particular human immune deficiency, which today is already spreading epidemically, as a result of wars and revolutions, among other things, veritable migrations of entire nations will take place as people begin to flee their homelands to seek asylum elsewhere. The migrant flow will lead to the hatred of strangers, the hatred of asylum seekers and other races. It will result in severe unrest, murders by all types of extremists and others. The drug abuse epidemic and international political terrorism shall run rampant. Recession and inflation will reappear, and millions of people will be without work and income. So this is what Billy is telling us is coming down the line. And this is an article called Overpopulation Crusade, an Extensive and Threatening Topic Nobody Dares to Address. So I'm going to play now an interesting clip by Fox News that talks about the migrant funding. Evidently, the movement of these migrants up through Honduras and Mexico and now on the verge of going into the U.S., this is funded by an organization in Chicago, and ultimately that organization is funded by George Soros, and George Soros has given them about $2.5 million.
Stand off. I want to bring in Anna Paulina now. She is the director of Hispanic Engagement at Turning Point USA, which is an organization that wants a responsible immigration program. All right, she's coming to us from Portland, Oregon. So I want to ask you a series of questions, and you tell me your opinion and how and what's based on, okay? The first thing is, am I wrong in stating that there's big money behind moving these migrants from Central America up to Tijuana? Am I wrong?
Absolutely not. You're 100% correct. 100%.
Who's providing the money?
So I actually found a great article on InfluenceWatch.org. So Pueblo Sin Fronteras has been the organization that has claimed responsibility for bringing not just this caravan, but thousands of illegals to the United States beforehand. But what they do is they're receiving their funds from an organization out of Chicago called La Familia Latina Unida.
All right, hold it. A little slower now. The organization in Chicago is called what?
La Familia Latina Unida.
Okay, so the family of United Latins.
Correct.
Okay.
Latino.
Chicago-based.
Nonprofit,
501(c)(4), run by a woman named Emma Lozano. Who's Emma Lozano?
So the founder of the organization is actually Elvira Arlano. But she was the one who founded it. She's very left-wing, and she is very much so for illegal immigration in the United States. So that's what these organizations, Pueblo Sin Fronteras, was a project, you could say, and they are for bringing immigrants here into the United States via illegal
immigration. So they want open borders. They want to bring everyone in from South and Central America that wants to come to the USA?
Absolutely.
Okay. So they're based in Chicago, and they have a relationship with Pueblos Sin Fronteras, which is based in Honduras, correct? They're like sister agencies.
Correct. And in fact, that's not their only one. They also have Centros Sin Fronteras. So these organizations and what they're doing is, I do believe that they are politically motivated. You had the Honduran and the Mexican government both coming out telling their people, don't get involved with these organizations. You had Matt Gaetz out of Florida actually showing footage of these activists paying people to join the caravan, specifically women and children. You can find that on Twitter and in various news outlets on the internet. But they're exploiting human life for political reasons, and it's wrong. And if we as American people don't take a stand against it, then we're just as evil as they are.
Okay, so you say that not only are they providing buses and food and tents and everything else, but they're actually paying migrants
Absolutely.
To get on the buses and come here. All right.
Yeah, they're paying women and children too.
Right, because they need that other than the optic of young Latin men. Now,
yes.
When I said a month ago when this began that I believe George Soros was behind it, because his Open Society Foundation wants open borders as well. They're simpatico, okay? I didn't know that in 2009, Soros gave this organization in Chicago $2.5 million. Is that true?
Absolutely, and you know, George Soros has no interest in the United States. He's a globalist, not a nationalist, and that's to be noted.
All right. Now, we don't know from 2009 to 2018 how much more money has come in from his operation to the Chicago operation, do we?
No, we don't.
All right.
And what he's doing is he's donating to other smaller organizations that might make private donations. So what he's done is he's made it very difficult to dig up the evidence. But if you do the digging, you can find it. And I will say that social media has actually done a very good job of getting around the censorship that we're coming up against on Twitter and Google to find this information. So it's been kind of a struggle getting this message out there. But if it weren't for people like you doing these interviews and getting this word out there, we wouldn't have that knowledge.
Because the national media just won't cover it at all, correct?
Absolutely. They won't. And if you do talk about it, you're called racist. I've been called racist.
Absolutely.
I've been called, race traitor, you name it. It's really
okay.
Sad.
Okay, so the big national news organizations, including Fox News, they don't want any part of exposing the pipeline of money that goes down into Central America and Mexico that allows thousands of people to come here. They don't want to expose that at all.
Correct.
Is there a reason?
I think at the end of the day, what I found is that, unfortunately, in politics, people care more about power than they do the sanctity of human life. And I think it comes down to, if you can control the people, if you can control what they're thinking, then you can control their vote. And the vote, essentially, in turn, is power. And that's what these people are all about, is power.
Okay, so they want to flood the zone, open borders to the United States to get more Latin American migrants here so they'll vote Democrat, and the press is on board with that.
Yeah, you have pewhispanic.org that came out and stated that the number one voting minority here in the United States is Hispanic Americans, specifically Mexicans.
Yeah, there's no question. And that has impacted Nevada and Arizona and Oregon.
Oregon, and now they're trying to flip Texas with Robert. I'll call him Robert because he changed his name to Beto, the Hispanic vote. But you're seeing what's happening, and I think in 2020 it's going to be really important. And basically in the election with President Trump and what he's doing right now, they are totally going to be exploiting the Hispanic population. And that's why Turning Point stood up this platform, is because there is such thing as a conservative and a Republican Hispanic. And I think that voice has been silenced.
All right, we want everybody to go to turningpointusa.com. They're covering the story about the migrants in a way that's factual. And I want you to check in with us weekly, if you would, just, what you're finding out. The most important thing now is to find out if George Soros continued his grants to the organization in Chicago for the past 9 years, La Familia Latina Unida. All right, that's the Chicago organization that is funding the migrant caravan through the Honduran. It's almost like a money laundering thing here. It's going all over the place. So,
can I just add something real quick, too?
Sure.
These organizations say that they care about human life, but here they are exploiting these people and pushing them through the most dangerous parts in the world,
yeah.
which is at the Mexico border.
No doubt about
it. There's trafficking, there's murder. I mean, TJ just broke homicide records, and these people are now coming up against angry, violent protests, and it's because of these organizations. They're not helping anyone.
Anna, we really appreciate it. Thanks very much. Have a very happy Thanksgiving, and we'll continue our reporting with Turning Point as events warrant.
Well, that was a very long clip on migration. And just to summarize what Billy's article said, the article is called Overpopulation Crusade. And the one line that stuck out, there's a whole line, whole series of good information to hear, but says, as a result of wars and revolution, among other things, veritable migrations of entire nations will soon take place as people begin to flee their homelands to seek asylum elsewhere. Much like the fires, this is another prediction. And he also talks about hunger in here and the fact that we don't really have enough. We can't feed this many people. So this is the challenge that we face right now. So let me play the next clip on migrants, and we'll continue on this vein.
With around 5,000 migrants now on Mexico's side of the border, President Trump is threatening, as you just heard, to shut the southern border completely.
If we find that it's uncontrollable, Josh, if we find that it's it gets to a level where we are going to lose control or where people are going to start getting hurt, we will close entry into the country for a period of time until we can get it under control.
The whole border.
And with around 5,800 U.S. troops now deployed to the border, President Trump compared the work those troops are doing with the work the U.S. military is doing around the world as he spoke to some of those stationed overseas on Thanksgiving Day.
You want to make sure that you know who we're letting in, and we're not letting in anybody, essentially, because we want to be very, very careful. So you're right. You're doing it over there. We're doing it over here. And your people at the border...
At the border yesterday, U.S. Customs and Border Protection shut down vehicle traffic at the San Ysidro port of entry for what they termed a large-scale operational readiness exercise. It wasn't clear whether it was directly related to the ongoing caravan situation. And on the Mexico side, a group of around 500 migrants marched toward the border yesterday to demand better living conditions as they prepare for what could be a months-long wait to get their asylum applications processed. They were met and stopped by Mexican police. And Secretary of State Mike Pompeo reiterated President Trump's point yesterday, saying, quote, the caravans will not be permitted to enter the United States. Secretary Pompeo also acknowledged the dangers the migrants face and said, Rick, the U.S. will work with Mexico to meet the challenges the caravans have created.
Well, that's another interesting clip. I'm just going to run through a whole series of these clips, probably playing a little bit by ear today. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the last show I did with Solon and Frosty Wooldridge, please listen to that one. That was a really good one. Me and Solon got into the book, The Might of Thoughts, in great depth. And I think I'm going to talk a little bit about that later in the program, but a little bit more on the migrants, trying to make sense of all this in terms of the Meyer prophecies.
Joining me now with reaction is Ann Coulter, conservative commentator and author of Resistance is Futile. Also with me is Alan Orr, immigration and civil rights attorney. Ann, I want to start with you. What recourse does the Trump administration have in dealing with migrants that are illegally crossing the border while trying to seek asylum?
Well, I think maybe having firearms would be helpful. That was hilarious. What, they're like British cops? They don't have guns? Do our troops on the DMZ have firearms? This is a little more important than protecting South Korea, as important as that is. It's our country. I mean, there are a lot of things Trump could do if he has to, if he's not going to build a wall, which apparently he isn't. He could go a few yards into Mexico, have an emergency military action there. But I don't think it's going to help with billy clubs.
Well, so, Alan, So Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen said yesterday that there are 500 criminals involved or in the mix of the migrants as well as gang members. I want to play some sound for you for former ICE Director Tom Homan and get your thoughts on it. Take a listen.
I was called a fearmonger, but you know what? Unfortunately, I was right. Now we're going to talk more caravans come, enter illegally, put themselves in the hands of criminal organizations. We're going to bankroll smuggling organizations. We bankroll drug cartels who control the corridors heading to the border. And these people are put at risk. Women will be raped. People will die crossing the border. Children will drown. People will be misused by these criminal organizations. We've seen over and over again last year and a half how many people have died at the hands of these criminals.
So, Alan, to Mr. Homan's point, as well as what Secretary Nielsen laid out, aren't there real national security concerns and, you know, defense concerns at the southern border right now?
No, I don't think there's any more concerns than there are at the other border, right? Every day, hundreds of thousands of individuals apply to enter this country. And specifically at the Tijuana port, at least 100,000 individuals apply every day. So an extra 2,000 or 4,000 for the United States to sort to see if they are available for entry or should be turned away should not be a problem for the United States. So therefore, this whole thing is basically theater, political theater.
How
in
so?
Which, because the caravan has been coming for years, and Ann has actually also said that on the show, and this is the first time that we've ever deployed, actually, we have the National Guard and the troops at the border for such a small number of people.
But he's not the first president to send troops to the border. President Obama did that. President George W. Bush, President H.W. Bush. He's certainly not the first president to do that. That's not
to send to the border for at this level and this number and at this magnitude to address individuals who are coming here, which I don't even call them the caravan. I call them survivors because they're sort of fleeing for their lives. So to meet people who are fleeing for their lives with guns instead of welcoming them and using the American laws that we've all agreed on for Congress to let them allow to apply for asylum, that's not very American.
Well, and it's not just President Trump and Republicans that have concerns with what's going on at the southern border. You even have the Tijuana mayor wearing a hat saying, you know, make Tijuana great again. You have Mexican protesters out there saying this is our country and having concerns with what's happening. So what do you make to what Alan just said?
Well, that's the proof positive that they are not fleeing for their lives, which is why for asylum, you either have to apply in your home country or you apply in the first country you come to. All of the Mexican protesters, and by the way, I mean, I guess it's fun needling the Mexicans for being hypocrites on illegal immigration, but I don't really care what Mexico's policy is. This is our country. Our policy should be what Donald Trump ran on. We're trying to run a country here. It isn't an international lounge at JFK. But you have to apply either to the country you're in or the first country you
come
to.
That's just factually not correct. Please stop saying that. You're not
immigrant. Well, Alan, but why aren't these migrants doing it the right way? Why aren't they going to port?
Well, that was kind of a strange and weird debate. I want to, now that we're on migrants, and Billy has talked about this, he says there will be, because of overpopulation and other things, there will be veritable migrations of entire nations that will take place. We're starting to see that. Let me talk a little bit about overpopulation, because I know a lot of people say you can fit all the people in the world, it's all 7 billion of us in Texas. However, when you start to thinking about feeding those people, then you start running into problems. Most people don't realize that according to www.theworldcounts.com, that 32 million people die of hunger each year. Now, why is that? In part, much of that is related to overpopulation. Now, let me kind of explain this very, very quickly. I've talked about this before. Let's say you have 7 billion people, and every person can consume one cow in their lifetime. Now, That isn't a lot of food. There are about 500 pounds of beef for a 1,200 pound steer. Once you, you know, the bones and the non-edible parts are taken away, you're left with about 500 pounds of meat. So if a person lives 100 years, they can eat 5 pounds a year, and then they would consume their 500 pounds of beef this way. If they live 50 years, then they could eat 10 pounds of meat per year, 10 times 50, and then that would be your 500 pounds of beef per year. See, right now, most of the world is in a starvation situation, a good portion of the world. About 1 billion people don't get enough to eat every day. Right now, more than 1 billion people suffer from hunger. This means that one in every six people on earth doesn't get enough food. So all I'm trying to show is how, when it's not a matter of cramming people in to a specific area. Let me give you another. Let me continue on this for just a little bit here. Try to bear with me. It takes 2 acres per cow for a cow to be raised properly. And then the cow can graze. It can have room to walk around. It doesn't destroy the field that it's on. So for 7 billion cows, one cow per person, which isn't a lot of meat at all, you would need about 14 billion acres. Well, 14 billion acres, if you convert that to square miles, that's 21 million square miles, almost 22 million square miles, just for 7 billion cows. So believe it or not, cows take up more space than human beings. There are about 3.8 million square miles in the United States, about 3.9 in Canada, about 6.6 million square miles in Russia, about 6.8 million square miles in South America. So if you add up United States, Canada, Russia, and South America, you have about 21 million square miles, which is roughly how much space you need for 14 billion acres. So for 7 billion cows, you need about 14 billion acres. So people do not think of that. They say we're going to fit 7 billion people into Texas. And then it takes all of South America, all of the United States, all of Canada, all of Alaska, and all of Russia just to feed what is a small amount of beef. 5 pounds per year if you live 100 years, and then you can have 10 pounds per year if your average lifespan would be 50 years. So anyway, the big thing that's happening in the rainforest now is Brazil is starting to clear the rainforest. What are they clearing the rainforest for? Cows. So more cows can be raised so that people can and eat more meat. So we're in a very, very difficult situation, but it's not really understood by most people. So we have about 30 million people dying of starvation each year, according to theworldcounts.com. How many is 30 million people? This will help you to understand. If you take the population of Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, and Tennessee, add them all up, that's roughly 30 million people. So imagine if 4 states worth of people died every year. That's the kind of catastrophe that's going on. That's not really being discussed. So that's why we here on the earth need to really start talking about this problem and start trying to solve the problem, because the overpopulation in the United States is really affecting, only overpopulation in the world is really affecting everything. Let me play our next clip here on migrants again.
A new poll finding Americans believe immigration and illegal aliens are the top issues facing the United States. A total of 21% of Americans say they're concerned about immigration. That's up from 13% just last month. Well, my next guest embedded himself in the caravan to find out why migrants are headed toward our southern border.
I'm here in southern Mexico in the state of Oaxaca, an area of Mexico which is riddled with narco crime and cursed with extreme poverty. It's also where the camp and base of the caravan is for the night. They're settled here as they continue their trek onto the United States.
Joining me now, that documentary filmmaker, Army Horowitz. Army, thank you for being here. Okay, the pictures we see of the caravan, the thousands of people making their, trudging their way north, a lot of women, a lot of children, people fearful for their lives. You embedded yourself with this group for a couple of days. What did you find?
Not that. So that's the narrative you hear, right? And
right.
The complicity with the mainstream media, with the organizers of this caravan is amazing, and it's sad, actually.
Mm.
So, yes, when we went there, we wanted to find out what exactly was going on, and what we found was very different from what you just described. So,
right.
For example,
mm-hmm.
when you see any kind of framing of a video or a picture, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the BBC, CNN, what do you see? Women and children everywhere.
Yep.
There are some. 90 to 95%, by my estimation, were all men. Okay.
Young men.
Young older,
middle-aged.
But all men. And when you, the first question I asked them, a very simple question, why are you coming to America? Now, again, the narrative, I'll keep going back to this, what you hear is they're escaping daily violence, their lives are at risk, at any moment they could be killed. So I asked them, why are you moving? And you would think they would say, the violence. Not a single person unprompted said violence, not a single person.
What did they say?
Work, education, better lives, all things that you and I would like to have.
Of course.
And frankly, if I were them, I would probably also want to come
right.
to America. But the question is, do we have a moral responsibility to take in every single person who wants an upgrade in their lives?
Mm.
I would say this country wouldn't exist if we did it that way.
Right. So in other words, the narrative is, so you're saying this is highly organized. This isn't a group of people who came together and in search of a better life. There is actually organization going on here. What kind? What level of organization is going on?
As high level as you can get. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
So again, going back to this narrative that you hear from the mainstream media, you hear this was, it was a wellspring, completely organic,
right.
And everything they had when they on the way was manna from heaven. Somehow, all the millions of dollars in water and in food and chartered buses and literally mobile hospitals all sort of just came out of nowhere. Combustible, you know, just came out of the sky. The reality is, it's highly organized.
Who's doing the organizing on it?
So there's a group called Pueblo Sin Frontera, which means people without borders. By the way, it tells you a lot about what their intention is.
Sure.
They don't believe in borders. They want a free flow of people. And frankly, they also want to essentially try to undermine U.S. sovereignty and border security and to stick it in the eye of Trump. That's what their goals are. And there are hundreds of them working there, hundreds of them working there. You can't walk around anywhere in the migrants and not see these guys in their black T-shirts.
This is a deliberate effort.
Completely, completely organized from, I don't know how long before, but it didn't come out from the ground. It was not spontaneous.
Were they aware of who you were at all? Were they suspicious of you? Were they saying, hey, what are you doing? What kind of questions are you asking? I mean, did you feel you were being followed?
They were highly
being
suspicious.
Followed?
They were and I was being followed. We had to actually do some kind of like kind of moves to get away from them and grab people and kind of move them away so they
right.
could see what we're saying. By the way, they were very suspicious of anybody from possibly could be from Fox News.
Okay, that's a big topic. Migration. I've been covering the incredible fires, the 7,500 fires in California this year. 1.6 million acres burned up. So, what do we do? I mean, in the case of all this, well, let me turn back to the book, The Might of Thoughts, and something that Solon and I were talking about yesterday. And this, I'll read a verse here. It says, "This is a contrast to entangled ideas confuse the thoughts." And it go abruptly from one extreme to another. whereby a misdirection of the thoughts arises, which triggers emotions and can even lead to murder and manslaughter. So, tangled ideas, an idea is something that's not completely developed. It's in many ways what Billy calls unripe. Even though a lot of times we think our ideas are complete, but they're really, really not. This is a contrast to entangled ideas confuse the thoughts. So when we have these concepts which aren't really thought through completely, and I can tell you, when you have a concept that isn't completely thought through, you're kind of compulsive about it. But if you thought something through correctly, you'll be more relaxed about it. So if you have something that's really bothering you, it could be one of these tangled ideas. And they tend to confuse the thoughts. So this is a cause and effect. So a tangled idea, an idea that isn't fully developed, and it's kind of tangled in with some other concepts, will cause confusion in your thinking. Cause and effect. Confusion is where things blend together, and it's hard to make distinctions between things. And when you get confusion in your thoughts, that will trigger another reaction. So what we've got here is a behavior pattern where cause and effect is taking place, and this is like a chain reaction of a cause and effect. So tangled ideas confuse the thoughts. Confused thoughts cause the thoughts to go to one extreme or another abruptly. Thoughts that are going from one extreme to another cause a misdirection of the thoughts. So your mind goes into completely something, whoa, really off the wall. And once you do that, this will trigger emotions in you. And hopefully at this point, you can start to do a little introspection and catch yourself before you say something or do something damaging. Remember, that's what we're searching for here in the Might of Thoughts, the ability to do introspection, to stop ourselves, to not get out of the law of harmony. So once your emotions are triggered, that should be a warning. Because once you trigger emotions, that can lead to murder and manslaughter. And as the world continues with all these difficult circumstances of the overpopulation, the destruction of the imbalance in nature, which is causing the fires and the mismanagement of the forest. And now that we have so many people's homes in these forest areas, the people that do the maintenance, they cannot let the smaller fires burn anymore. So we have a mismanagement of the planet taking place. And a side effect of that are just these thousands of migrants. So we are now in a critical condition on the earth, so now it becomes even more critical to be able to control our thoughts and remain in a rational state. But here, Billy says, there is no room for rationality and virtue in these tangled and basically wrong ideational thoughts. Remember, a thought, that's an idea, I-D-E-A, is not completely developed. So these ideational thoughts, they contribute to irrationality. Let me continue here. It says, there's no room for rationality and virtue in these tangled, irrational, basically wrong ideational thoughts, because only irrationality and virtuelessness govern in highly emotional forms, for which a truthfully setting of the zeal and an imagination of the realization of the zeal are foreign. So when you get into this triggered state, there is no rationality in your thinking anymore. There's no room for rationality. You've been triggered. And you cannot even set what's called a life determination here. You can set a short-term goal, but But your thinking is so befuddled. You're really in a befuddled state of thinking at this point. And your emotions have taken over. So your goal is just to strangle somebody. In the case of a murderer, he goes totally on his emotion. So his only, he cannot create a true life determination, which is more than a goal. A life determination is something that you've completely thought through, and you're extremely motivated and you're dedicated to it, and you stay in harmony as you strive towards this goal. And you're in a state of striving. Now, striving is really the very nature of the human being. So if you keep striving and keep doing introspection and monitoring yourself, then you satisfy the law of harmony. If you're striving so hard that you're literally breaking down your own internal harmony, then you need to pull back on your striving, and that's good, and that's actually a very good thing to learn to do. But when you're in this, when you're governed by ideas, I-D-E-A-S, which have not completely been thought through, you're in a virtueless state. And you are governed by highly emotional forms of thinking. And it says here, in fact, only the following of ideas occur from which a setting of the zeal can never result in any wise, because just the idea alone is followed, without it being able to become an ideal, an I-D-E-A-L. This is page 224 of The Might of Thoughts in my edition. My edition was the 2014 edition. So this is a very good book to buy. It's very densely packed with information. It's hard. There's a almost like a mental block that we have to get through to really study this information. Hard to quite put into words. So in fact, only a following of ideas occur from which a setting of the zeal can ever result in any wise, because just the idea alone is followed, without it being able to be made into an ideal, I-D-E-A-L. Therefore, a murderer or a despot, for example, only pursues his unripe ideas. And that's an extreme example. Most of us hopefully will never murder anyone. But if you lose your temper, that's an example of following an unripe idea from which he or she is never able to make an ideal with an L. That is to say, a healthy, positive determination, because he or she remains caught up in the idea and does not come free of it. But ideas are incompletely developed factors which must be thoroughly contemplated and worked out in order to recognize and correspondingly handle the values or the unvalues in them. So the bank robber has an idea, I-D-E-A. He's going to rob this bank over here. And he knows they carry about $5 million in cash. So he's going to put a mask on and get a gun and go over there and tell them to give him all of his money. So he takes the money and he gets home and he realizes, wow, well, I can't put all this money in the bank. What am I going to do with all this money? Do I bury it in the backyard? Do I go to a different bank and try to deposit it? If I go and pay my house off, they're going to ask me how in the hell I'm able to pay, you know, the thousands of dollars that still remain on my mortgage, because, you know, I'm currently not making very much money. So anyway, it's just a, you know, really rough example of an unripe idea, an idea. A tangled idea that led to confusion. So the guy thought he was going to solve his problems by, stealing money from the bank, but that didn't work out too well. So in our ideas that aren't completely developed, we have what are called values and unvalues. And that might be a good thing to look at. If I can find my way around my notes. So we talked about the cause and the effect in this passage. Tangled ideas confuse the thoughts. The confused thoughts cause us to go abruptly to extremes. The going abruptly in our thinking to extremes causes a misdirection of the thoughts. That's a good word to look up, misdirection. Let me look that up real quick, because it's sometimes good to look up words. You can get a better idea of what they're all about. Misdirection, the action or process of directing someone to the wrong place or to the wrong direction. So misdirection in your thinking, that means you're going to the wrong place. You know, you've decided to go rob a bank or to murder somebody. And what does it say in Phoebe Bulletin 38 here? I've made a note of it. As a matter of fact, in the entire universe, everything is built up on information of a creational nature. Consequently, nothing delivers so-called and non-existent chance nor chaos. Rather, everything and indeed all matter is constructed on information. Truthfully, everything has its order determined through information, which manifests through the law of causality, respectively cause and effect. So everything is cause and effect in the universe. So I was talking about a misdirection of the thoughts. So cause and effect, cause tangled ideas, effect confused thoughts, cause thoughts going to extremes, effect, a misdirection in the thinking. You've gone to the wrong place. Cause, this triggers emotions. The effect is violence, murder, or manslaughter. So we want to learn introspection so our thoughts don't get so far out of alignment. Because ideas have something called unvalues in them. And that's where I was going here, now that I remember here. Figu Bulletin 68 talks about unvalues of a psychopath. And we all have acted like a psychopath before, or we've all certainly thought like a psychopath before, because we're ill in our consciousness. The people of the earth are ill in their consciousness. It's hard to understand what we are. What are the unvalues of the psychopath? Lack of logical decisions, lack of rational contact, conduct, frequent change of sexual partner, boredom. Oh my goodness, how many times have I been bored as a kid? So many times, I couldn't tell you. Parasitism, that's you're kind of existing off the work of someone else. You know, striving. If you can get over the lack of confidence. Because what most people have trouble with is they're just not confident enough. And one of the things that we have to do is build up our confidence. And I think it's a very, very important skill, something that I've really been focusing on, how to build up the confidence. Well, here's just some important things to tell yourself. Tell yourself, I am confident. I am optimistic, I am relaxed, I am cheerful, I'm enthusiastic. Now, every morning, say that to yourself. Get up and say that to yourself 100 times. I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic. What you're doing here is programming not only your conscious mind, but your subconscious. You can only reach your subconscious through repetition, repetition, repetition. That's why a musician who learns very complicated musical pieces, he's played them so many times, he can do it subconsciously. He's not thinking about the next note. It's all happening as a part of a normal behavior that he's repeated and learned. Tell yourself, I'm the master of my own destiny. I'm the forger of my own fortune. I create my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers a ship. I nurture my thoughts. You know, our thoughts drift a lot more than we realize. And usually it's like a ship that's drifting off course and it's heading towards the rocks. So try to catch yourself when your thoughts are drifting. Mine do that. I think it might be okay for your thoughts to drift just before you go into a deep meditation or just before you go to sleep. But if you're awake and you're conscious, steer your thoughts just like a captain steers his ship. Because it is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone, every conceivable thing can come to fruition. And you know, nurture your thoughts, strengthen your thoughts, clarify your thoughts. If you clarify your thoughts, you will have confidence. We have thousands of negative thoughts every day. So what you want to do is program your consciousness to think neutral, positive. What does it say? In one of those verses, Billy says, as a rule, suffering is an effect of some form of wrong thinking. And incidences of suffering in the life are indicators that the law of harmony has been broken. So we must maintain harmony in our thinking. And then your consciousness will be like a garden filled with flourishing plants. And it's okay. Let me give it to you like this. You're going to have to be very careful to not fall back into your negative rotating thoughts, because your subconscious is programmed with these negative rotating reoccurring thoughts, and you can literally make yourself mentally ill by thinking these thoughts. If you have some thing like a trauma, or it can become just a habit of anger or fear or whatever it is. We have these learned patterns of thought which are very unhealthy. So when you feel yourself, and a lot of times thoughts will trigger feelings, and you'll feel a feeling which is not comfortable, start to repeat whatever it is that you do. It should be something in the present tense, like I am. You should say I am. And it has to be in the present tense, because that's the only way the subconscious registers. The subconsciousness doesn't understand time. So you have to say I am strong. I am smart. I am healthy. That's the way the subconscious is reprogrammed. And you know, what happens, the power of your thoughts changes your blood chemistry. And then the blood chemistry changes your health. So if you're struggling with health right now, you need to tell yourself, I am healthy. I am healthy. I am healthy. Every day, 100 times, repeat, I am healthy. It will program your subconsciousness. And your subconscious will say, yeah, I am healthy. I am healthy. That becomes a habit, because just like a musician plays a piece of music from his subconscious, he's not thinking about it consciously. If he does, he'll make a mistake. You have to go completely neutral and let your subconscious take over. And then that's when beautiful music comes out. And it's that way with our thinking as well. You want to steer your thoughts, get them back on track, and you need to program yourself with right thinking. Tell yourself, I am strong, I am healthy, I am relaxed, I am cheerful, I am enthusiastic. My consciousness is like a garden filled with flourishing plants. So this is very, very important. Now, this is a very, very school. This is a school. You're learning to teach yourself here. That's the key. So let me read another thing, which I think is very important. We covered this, but I'll repeat it one more time. But ideas are incompletely developed factors which must first be thoroughly contemplated and worked through in order to recognize and correspondingly handle the values and unvalues in them. Therefore, a normal, rational, and righteous human being who is directed toward evolutive striving considers and works on his or her ideas to gain from them values, and that which is progressive and that which is higher. However, he or she is only able to do this because he or she has created an evolutive attitude to which he conforms. Let me stop right there. This repeating that I'm talking about, this is building within you an evolutive attitude. Tell yourself you're confident, you're optimistic, you're enthusiastic, you're cheerful, that you're relaxed, that you're the master of your own destiny, the forger of your own fortune. But the unrighteous human being has created a devolutive attitude. It comes from the programming in the subconscious, whereby he or she panders to virtuelessness and that which is unrighteous. So anyway, I just wanted to cover that again quickly as it relates to the migrants, et cetera, et cetera. Hang in there. Take my advice. Program yourself. Billy has 77 meditative sentences. You can program yourself with those. One of those, if I can remember it, it says, I always remain relaxed and thereby gain might over myself. So what we're trying to do is gain might over ourselves. And your thoughts have an incredible power. You have to learn to steer your thoughts. Anyway, you've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.